Bears Roundtable is powered by Xfinity.
Hi again, everybody, and welcome to Chicago Bears Roundtable here at PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. Jeff Joniak with my broadcast partner, Tom Thayer, from News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM, and the senior writer from ChicagoBears.com, Larry Mayer, and the one and only.
Whoa!
We are going to have fun today. He's humorous. He's intelligent. He's a Boston College grad and former Chicago Bear from ESPN Radio and ESPN Network as well. Tom Waddle.
Great to be here, guys. I obviously didn't get the clothing memo, no tie and jeans, so I apologize for my appearance.
Well, our executive producer, Greg Miller, would be very upset with us if we were not wearing neckties.
Yeah.
So you your old boss. You know he was.
Yeah, he's still a stickler, I see.
Well, I got a new expandable collar, so it's just a lot easier to wear ties now.
Cuts down You've been talking about that for a long time. You're looking sharp. Larry's got a haircut, and we are ready to roll. I can't believe already it's going to be week 16, frankly. This season has zoomed by. We've seen a lot that has happened, obviously. We're going to go through it all. We're going to talk to Tom about his career as well and what's going on from his perspective in the National Football League. But just where we've arrived at right now, week 16, still many, many questions about 2016. You got to worry about week 16 first, but 2016 is certainly in everybody's mind.
Yeah, you know, according to the Bears, I think it's kind of gone the way, if you realistically look at where this staff took over from last year and what this team was going to be this year, it was going to be implement the system, get everybody involved, try to make the decisions and who's going to be here in the future and who you're going to want to develop, and what areas the scouts and the general manager and the whole combine is going to have on the after effects of this football team. I think it was an important year to make decisions about the talent and where you kind of fit in the division and what you have to do to start winning the division.
I think the season's gone just as I anticipated. Look, I had the expectation level set at a very reasonable spot. And I think outside of last week, which was disappointing for all of us to watch, I think what you've seen is a team that competes, is good enough and is well-prepared enough to compete with anybody in the National Football League, but maybe isn't talented enough when you look at the roster and not talented enough to win more than you lose. So, you know, I looked at this season as a season of growth. And as Tom said, one where a great new coaching staff is going to identify what they have, what they don't have, and what they need to get better. And, you know, you get yourself, unfortunately, from a player's perspective in a play out the string mode, which is basically where you are. And I would advise all those young players out there, don't be caught napping.
All right.
Don't be caught, you know, missing assignments or loafing out there, because there's some fellas upstairs that are still making their decisions and there's other people around the
Stay
league.
Stay professional.
Yes.
Stay
exactly.
professional. Get in your. Try harder than you ever Absolutely. Have before. I look at a guy like Timu, John Timu.
Yeah.
That guy's been chomping at the bit. I talk to him almost every week. He's just a wonderful young man. You can tell it means something to him and it matters. And as we broadcast that game and watching him make his 9 tackles, 8 solo tackles, 1 for a loss, after every one, his exuberance, the energy coming up after the play, you know, smacking his hands and being with his teammates and being fired up, that's what you want to see. You want to see that energy. And he plays with a toughness to him, too. And that's the key word for John Fox, toughness.
I want to know from you guys, though, how does the mentality change when you know that you're eliminated from playoff contention? Does it change at all? Because I know a lot of these guys, like John Timu, it's basically an audition. Kyle Long, I believe, called it a job interview the last 2 weeks. Jay Cutler talked about, we're going to see who's in and who's not going forward here.
I think it increases the fear factor a little bit. Because if you're not prepared mentally and physically, you don't go out there and give every winning effort just as if you were playing in or getting ready to play the Super Bowl. The evaluation is going to start very strict, and our coaches tell us every time, if your arrow's pointed up, we're still going to coach you. As soon as your arrow starts pointing down, we got to look to remove you. So I think that's the lasting impression you want to put on the face of the coaches is, man, this last 2 games, he's really, you know, showed that he is a professional. He shows that he's prepared. He shows that when we get ready to start charting OTAs and the depth charts, that his name is still included.
And who's willing to fight through the pain?
Sure.
Of the season.
Listen,
I think, wear and tear, right? You
got
to circle those guys, too.
Absolutely. Look, I was fearful that I was going to lose my job every week, so
me too.
I came to play. Fear was my motivation because this was something that I dreamed of doing as a little kid, and I never thought in my wildest dreams I would be given that opportunity because I was so limited physically our good friend and former teammate Dan Hampton used to call me small, slow, and friendly. And, kid, that's no combination in this league. But it was the fear factor for me. We'd be naive to think that there aren't guys on this team that are more secure than others. There are, for financial reasons, draft status, whatever the case may be. But when you have a new staff, an accomplished staff like John, and with Vic Fangio and Adam Gase, who's as, you know, as hot a young offensive coordinator as there is in the league, you're always being evaluated. Even those who perceive themselves as being hallmarks of what's going to happen going forward. Right.
That word secure, I do not feel applies to this coaching staff.
I agree.
They don't care. They don't care how much you make. They don't know. They don't care about your salary situation. If you're not the guy, you're not going to play, yeah, or you're going to have limited reps. I mean, that is the scenario right now, and I think that's great. You have to.
Sure.
It sends a great message in the locker room, right, fellas? You, first of all, players know who play. They know. They know. You guys know first, right,
yep,
as players.
John has always said we evaluate our product from 1 week and how we're going to advance to the next, and I still think he's looking for advance in these final two games. He's not looking for a regression from at any aspect of the
I would say this as well, from a player-to-player relationship. You know, I mean, we're talking about how a coaching staff perceives you, but from a player-to-player perspective, look, I wanted everyone to trust me. Regardless of what our record was, you can trust that when I'm on the field that I'm going to do everything I can to help us win. And I'm not lying, I'm not saying this because Tom's here, but when I got in the offensive huddle when I was a young player, I didn't want to let Jimbo Covert, yeah, and Tom Thayer and Mark Bortz and Jay Hilgenberg and Keith Van Horn down. That was, again, we could have been 0-14, but the last thing I wanted to do was look at these guys in the eye and get a look back of one that they didn't trust me. So, you know, there was a commodity as well where you want the respect of your peers and your teammates that was very, very important to me.
Jeff, you mentioned John Timu before, and I think he's a great example. Bryce Callahan, Jonathan Anderson, these are all guys that came in, made the team as undrafted free agents. And I think a lot of people know what you've accomplished with the Bears. A lot of people remember the highlights and all the great catches. But really, I don't think a lot of people realize what you went through. How many times were you cut?
Oh, I was cut four times. You know, at one point, I went from being scared to death to sit on Mike Ditka's sofa to wanting to jump across the table and fight him. And obviously that wasn't something that was going to happen. But it's tough. I mean, when you come into the league and you're an undrafted free agent, that's how it is. There's a pecking order. You're not going to get the same opportunity early that the guys who were drafted or guys who've been in the league get. But ultimately, over a course of time, when a coaching staff sees what you're willing to do and the sacrifice you're willing to make, and most importantly, how you perform, then that trust factor becomes something that starts to tilt in your direction.
Was there ever a point in time where you said, that's it, I'm done, I'm not even going to keep going?
Training camp 1991. I was getting married, and I said, you know, I'd been on the developmental squad for 2 years. I played, I think, in three games. Because of injuries, and I went into the 91 season basically with the mentality that I'm going to work as hard as I can, give it everything I got. I think at that point I had gotten up to about 189 pounds.
Huge.
Huge. I think I ran the 40 in like 4.65 fast for me, and this was all I had. All I had I put into my, and I put it into every time I stepped on the field, but I wasn't going to get any bigger, faster, stronger, or more motivated in the 1991 training camp. And fortunately, I got an opportunity and it all fell into place.
You know, you pay attention to the NFL as much as anybody up here. Do you think that your talent's more suited for today's NFL than it was back then? Because back then...
Mine?
Because back then it was a run-influenced offense, and then every once in a while we threw the ball. Now you look at Danny Amendola, you look at Wes Welker, you look at Mark Mariani, guys that have similar skill traits to you. Do you think that your skill was more set for today's offenses?
Oh, boy, guys are so much bigger, faster, and stronger.
But the guys that I just mentioned, Welker's not, Amendola's not, Mark Mariani.
And those guys aren't necessarily straight line fast. What they are is quick. And I had that quickness. I just didn't have, you know, once I got to 10 yards, I could get you from 0 to 10. But 10 to whatever was just a nightmare for me. But you're right.
You know, the three receiver sets, the slot reception, all the offenses designed to take advantage of a guy's skill set.
Yeah, you're right. I think it probably, as much as I would be at a disadvantage size-wise, I'd be I'd have an advantage because I would know how to set up a defensive back. I would know how to use the guys around me.
And you can catch.
I can catch the ball.
And you'd be going against the third or fourth best defensive back on
the team,
not the first or second.
I was more suited to be a slot receiver.
Right.
And because of how things played out, and Tom, we were teammates during that time, I had to play on the outside as a starter. It wasn't what I was suited to be or built to play, but...
How'd you handle press coverage?
I prayed like you can't imagine when I left the huddle that it was going to be a three-deep zone. I can tell you that when I stepped through the line, especially early in my career, there were some things said to me that I certainly can't say here. I mean, some things that were said about me, my mom, my dad, my grandparents, relatives.
That was all by McMichael.
That's right. That was all in practice. No, but, I mean, look, everyone was going to make you prove to them that you could get away from them. So I saw so many different press coverage looks early in my career. And then when you start to beat it a little bit, people start to give you a little bit of respect. But everyone still was pressing me. They weren't playing off. I mean, the only people that play off are the guys that are afraid you can get behind them.
Right, right.
You know, so.
This guy's incredibly humble, as we all know.
Oh, yeah.
We were there. I mean, we watched it. This guy made better catches than anyone I've ever seen. And a lot of them came in practice. He made catches up in Platteville that I remember thinking, there's no human being, no human way you can catch those balls.
Why was that the case?
Well, I think I had two God-given talents that I was very thankful for. One was a complete disregard for my health. So I wasn't afraid to play anywhere on the field. And you could hit me and hit me and hit me again, and it didn't bother me. Hmm. And the other was just to see the football. I've always thought that, I mean, I have average-sized hands, but I always thought that you catch the ball with your eyes. And the guys that don't catch the ball at a high rate, or the guys that drop it more frequently, are guys that consistently take their eye off the ball. And again, it was the fear factor. I had one really marketable skill, and that was to catch the football. I was quick and all. I was a smart player, but I knew I had to catch everything. So, I mean, we'd be in walkthroughs, Tom, at the old Hallis Hall on Washington Avenue. I'd be diving for balls on Saturdays. I mean, I can remember Sean Gale saying, dude, stop. Stop doing this, because we're walking, you're running, you're making us look bad. And I'm like, Sean, I can only play one way or I'm going to get cut again.
And then you got Jim Harbaugh saying, Tommy, wow, that's a wicked go. Right. Way to die for those.
That's right. Because Harbaugh was as crazy as I was every day of the week.
What goes through your mind when you see all the concussion protocol now? You see somebody get hit hard and all of a sudden, you know, they get out of the game, they get evaluated. I mean, if people look back at that tape of that Dallas playoff game.
Yeah, I have two thoughts, Larry. First is I am a huge... Look, I don't agree with everything that comes out of the commissioner's office. I mean, it's been a rough year for that crew. They have a very difficult job. I have been a huge advocate of his player safety initiative, especially the trying to get the helmet-to-helmet contact stuff out of the league, because it's a real thing. And we've all known people who are no longer with us who ultimately the head trauma played a role in their ultimate situation. It's real. I like the fact that the league's taking it serious. I think also you can discern intent. For example, when Odell Beckham Jr. takes a 10-yard head start and leads with his helmet and hits Josh Norman, there's no place in this game. I thought Brandon Merriweather, who had to stay here in Chicago, was guilty of some of the same stuff.
Yeah.
You need to legislate that out of the game. You're not going to completely legislate violence out of the game because it's an inherent commodity. But the stuff that there's no place for, it's got to go. I hold no ill will, bad feelings towards Fred Cato or Mike Kordecki or, you know, Brian McCaskey. Nobody, none of the doctors. Look, Dr. Munsell, we just didn't know, truthfully. I mean, medicine has advanced to the point now where we just know more. So we knew that kind of if you could see straight, and you knew what your name was, you were okay to go back in the game.
You never looked at us taking a toll on you. That was just part of the job requirements.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to come every day to Hallis Hall and make sure that you were listed first on the depth chart, that's what you were willing to do.
And the truth is now, I mean, honestly, the league has taken a huge step forward in trying to eliminate all this stuff, and I think that it's been a fantastic initiative.
Could both of you guys enjoyed the prospect of playing for Coach Fox, playing for Adam Gase on the offense side of the ball, playing for a Vic Fangio, a Donatel, this coaching staff?
I think if you want to play football, you can play at any era, at any time, for anybody. And I think the coaches recognize commitment from different guys, whether you're Tom Waddle size or my size, because I think it's the desire to be out there every day is what sometimes is judgment day for you.
The two commodities that Mike Ditka always talked about and preached and was willing to give as long as you were willing to give back were loyalty and honesty. And as long as you were loyal and honest with your words and with your actions and your approach, Coach would love to have you. And I think that John Fox feels the same way.
From a national perspective, because you're in Bristol every week, what do they think about the Bears circa 215?
That Jay Cutler has played at an above average level consistently, despite not having a ton to work with the injury to Kevin White. Alshon has not been healthy all season long. The offensive line has been unsettled at times. I think it's a strong feeling that Jay has really played well, and Jay has endeared himself to this staff and will be the guy going forward. Doesn't mean they won't draft another quarterback, but has done enough to kind of resurrect his career here in Chicago. So there's a lot of respect for Jay, that the team plays the right way, that they've got a great group of coaches, and now it's incumbent upon Ryan Pace and his people to just improve the talent level to get them up to speed with the rest of the elite teams in the league. But, you know, everyone looks at what John has done over the course of his career, and you see improvement. And I think we've seen improvement this year, and I think you'll continue to see that improvement as the years roll on.
I think resiliency, fight, the determination is in this team. You know, it didn't work out well, obviously, Sunday against the Vikings in terms of what happened there, but I just like their whole approach, and the word I keep using about Jay is calm.
Yeah.
He's been calm. Plays are getting in quick. He's never losing his mind about, you know, let's get the play in. I think
there's a trust factor
there.
Yeah,
there definitely is. And I just think, you know, you took it, like, all these undrafted free agents are these guys that, you know, you would say in the football vernacular, that they're just guys, right? They're just guys. There's no superstars on this team right now. But they're pulling together. That's a good locker room. That's why they've played well on the road. They've packed their suitcase because of who they are and what type of team they are. They can run the ball on the road. You play defense on the road, you have a chance of winning.
Yeah, but I think that speaks volumes for what the coaching staff has been able to do, because you talk about the interchangeable lineups here in Chicago.
Yeah.
It seems like the next guy up has always been ready for his role. From Timu this week to Langford a couple weeks ago. And Jay Hilgenberg said a really bold statement a couple weeks ago after the Bears game. He says, I think Jay Cutler has turned into the best player on the Chicago Bears, which says a lot. Because at what the thought was about Cutler at the beginning of the season and where he's at right now in this offense, he probably is the most important player to come back to this offense. When you think of the change at the tight end, the constant change at the offensive line, the never accessibility to the receivers that you need there, to get things repetitiously done. So, you know, that says a lot.
Would agree with that. Yeah. I mean, I think Jay has been, again, it's the most difficult position in all of sports, in my opinion, to play. And you are going to make mistakes. Tom Brady makes mistakes. Aaron Rodgers makes mistakes. It's when you put yourself in a hole and when you have self-inflicted adversity, which quarterbacks are all going to be guilty of, can you pull yourself out of that hole, you and your teammates? Can you face that adversity and kind of change the momentum of how things are going because of that mistake? And I think that to me has been an important commodity of Jay's play. He's limited the mistakes, but when he makes a mistake, he's right back out there leading them to rectify the mistakes. And if I'm not mistaken, Jay Cutler is the only quarterback in the National Football League currently who is an every week starter who hasn't had a multi-pick interception game. And I think once again they can get some guys healthy and the talent level improves, I think this is a team you're not going to want to see on Sunday.
That's what their plan is. They don't want it. They want teams not to be looking forward to play the Chicago Bears.
Jay's decision making is what's impressed me the most. He doesn't make that one mistake in a game. And when he does throw an interception, it's not on a ball that he forces into coverage. It's not on a ball that he throws back across the middle. It's a good play. Maybe remember the Clay Matthews interception where the guy ran across the entire formation to pick it off. And he bounces back. And like you said before, I did a story on this. His first 6 years, he had 26 games where he threw two interceptions or more. This year, in 13 starts, he has none.
Yeah.
So I think he's always shown that big arm. He's always shown the ability to make every throw and throw touchdown passes. The biggest difference this year, I think, he's eliminated those mistakes and those turnovers. And I also think he doesn't get enough credit, you touch on this, for his ability to keep plays alive. Right. Everybody always talks about Aaron Rodgers, but Jay does a great job keeping plays alive in the pocket, buying time and making a play down the field.
And let's face it, there are only a couple of elite guys in this league that can beat other teams by themselves. The majority of quarterbacks in this league need a running game to support them and a defense to make sure that they're not in precarious situations every time they're put on the field. So it's the nature of the beast. It's the most visible position, but it's also, in a lot of ways, the most reliant position in all of sports.
All right, we got to wrap things up, but he's always talking about if he makes two decades in a second career. He literally has had a second career. He's knocking on that door.
I'm in my third decade of this.
Honestly?
Can you believe that? Well, I was doing a radio show and a television show my final 2 years of playing. So that was 92, 93, 94.
Wow.
So this is my third decade of... This is a lot easier on my body. This is a lot easier.
It's harder to get into the chair, but it's a lot easier.
It is.
Well, those are Hall of Fame numbers right there. So maybe broadcast Hall of Fame for a Tom Waddle.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be the NFL Hall of Fame.
Outstanding. You're a hell of a personality and a fun guy, and we love talking to you.
Thanks for coming in.
Tom Waddle, everybody, from ESPN Radio and ESPN Network. Larry Mayer, the senior writer for ChicagoBears.com. For Tom Thayer, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for watching. Roundtable here from PNC Studio at House Hall.